Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, discover why it really matters to live on purpose.
Let me tell you some really good news about the judgment seat of Christ. You are not going to watch with Jesus. This is your life. You're not going to have to relive every sin that you've ever committed. And so the judgment seat of Christ, he evaluates, what did you do in the Christian life? What did you build? I put you on the foundation, and I want to know what you built on the foundation. And he looks to see what you did and how you did it.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and after hearing that introductory comment from Pastor Jeff, the question is this: how would you answer that question about yourself? What have you been doing, and how have you been doing it? Whatever it is, work, play, relationships, whatever. Have you been doing this for yourself or for the glory of God? Pastor Jeff has been teaching his Living on Purpose series all this month. Today is the last message in this series, and honestly, it's a message where we have to answer this question: am I living for Christ, or am I missing the point of life itself? And while some would say that's an overstatement, it is far from it. Today's lesson, Pastor Jeff pulls no punches, or maybe better yet said, his teaching from God's Word is clear and indisputable on this issue. Today's lesson is called, Why It Matters to Live on Purpose. Now remember, if you missed any of these broadcast messages this month, you can listen again online anytime and download a free MP3 of any broadcast when you go to fromhisheart.org. And know that this series is our thank you gift this month for your support of any amount to the ongoing outreach of From His Heart. Go to fromhisheart.org for details. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to answer the question, Why It Matters to Live on Purpose.
Well, one of the lessons I learned in high school was a lesson on efficiency. For instance, sometimes in high school, we would have film day, you know, in one particular class period. And my first question was always this: is this going to be on the test? It's efficiency question. Because if she or he, whichever the teacher was, said no, then film day was fun day, it was free day. It was like, I'm not paying any attention to this. But if my teacher said, yes, you are going to be tested over this material, you will see this material again, then you had to pull out a piece of paper and get a pen. Why? Because you were going to be held accountable for that material. In life, for all of us before God, there's a test at the end. You're going to be held accountable and responsible for how you lived, how I lived, and the choices that we made. Great passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us this. Paul speaking to the Corinthian Christians, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, I want to share with you three truths from this great verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Truth number one: every soul will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person, really, that has ever lived in this world, you can put them in one of two categories: saved and lost. And when the Bible talks about people, every soul appearing before the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't all appear at the same place. The saved go to one place, and the lost go to another place. So the lost will appear before Jesus at a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Bible talks about that judgment in Revelation chapter 20. John says this in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne." Now it's interesting. The Bible speaks of two births and two deaths. The first birth is physical birth. The second birth the Bible talks about, John chapter 3, is when you're born spiritually, when you're born again. But the Bible also talks about two deaths. Now, the first death we all know about, that's physical death. But then the Bible also talks about a second death, which is spiritual death, which is separation from God forever and ever and ever. Now notice, if a person is born but once, that person dies twice. They die physically and they die spiritually. But if you're born twice, you've been born again, you only die once. So the lost people, they end up at the great white throne. It's a judgment of condemnation and a judgment of horror, and it's awful. But that's not what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So the saved people, they have a different judgment. It's not the great white throne, it's the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is one word in the Greek. It's the word bema, B-E-M-A, but it's pronounced bema. The bema seat. Second truth, not only will every soul stand before Jesus Christ, but every Christian will be evaluated by Jesus Christ. Say, what's involved in the evaluation? Well, first of all, you'll be called to give an account. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says this, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Secondly, you will be completely revealed. Look at it again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, before the bema. The word appear means to be totally revealed. And he's going to disclose what you did and why you did it. He will disclose the motives of your heart. Did you know you can do good things, but you can do good things with a bad motive? And if you do good things with a bad motive, there's no reward. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. There's no reward there. You're going to be evaluated and everything's going to be completely revealed. And let me tell you some really good news about the judgment seat of Christ. You are not going to watch with Jesus. This is your life. You're not going to have to relive every sin that you've ever committed. Because listen, the great white throne is all condemnation. It's all condemnation. The judgment seat of Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there's not any condemning that goes there. And he doesn't bring up sins because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished, paid in full. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed their transgressions from us. God takes your sin, and the Bible says he buries it in the deepest sea. And Corrie ten Boom says, and then he posts a sign that says no fishing. And God is not going to bring that stuff up. The blood of Jesus has already taken that all away. So you can praise God that at the judgment seat, you don't have to relive your sins. Now, he does evaluate you. He evaluates your service. And he looks to see what you did and how you did it. And the evaluation is to determine reward or loss of reward. That's what takes place at the judgment seat. So you'll be completely revealed and you will either gain reward or suffer loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the sister passage for the judgment seat of Christ, for this bema judgment that the Bible talks about. Romans 14 also talks about the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of God, the bema, that Christians, every Christian is going to stand before. Now in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says this. He says that he was a wise master builder and he built upon the foundation because he said, no man can build upon the foundation, lay a foundation other than the one which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation that every Christian life is built upon. My hope is built, the Bible, the song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So the moment that you receive Christ, you receive him into your heart through his Spirit. You're born again. You're born twice. And God places you on the foundation called Jesus Christ. And then as a Christian, I mean, it's not, life is not over. Life is just beginning. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Lord puts us on this foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and says, now I want you to serve me. Now I want you to let me live through you, and you live for me in my strength and in my power. That's the Christian life. And you grow in the Lord, but you let him have his way in your life. There are things that he wants to do. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he wants to work through you. And so the judgment seat of Christ, he evaluates, what did you do in the Christian life? What did you build? I put you on the foundation, and I want to know what you built on the foundation. And Paul uses that metaphor about a building. And he said there are different building materials that you can use in life. There is the gold pile. There's the silver pile. There is the precious stone pile. You can use all those to build your structure on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But then he says there's a wood pile, and there's a hay pile, and then there's a stubble pile. Six different kinds of building materials that he mentions. Which one are you going to use to build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ? Well, I mean, if you think about that, those are my building piles, and I'm a builder, so to speak, in my life, and I can choose. Well, I'm going to choose the gold and the silver and the precious stone. Yeah, those would be good ones to choose. The wood, hay, and the straw, or the stubble, that wouldn't be good to use. Now, it says in verse 10 that the deeds in the body are going to be exposed according to what a person has done, whether good or bad. You might want to circle the word bad. It's not the word poneros, which means evil. It's a word that means worthless. And that's a better translation. He's going to test us to see what we built, whether it was good or whether it was worthless. Gold, silver, precious stone, those are good. Wood, hay, and stubble, those are worthless. Worthless, definitely in comparison to what you could have built with. Worthless when it comes to the test, because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 14 and 15, that the Lord's going to test it by fire. And he says, if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. God looks at your life like a building, and he says, okay, what did you do with your Christian life? You were a Christian for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, some of you 80 years plus. Okay, what did you do with all that time that I gave you? Let's look to see what you built. So you have this structure. Can look pretty good. But then the Lord lights a fire. And he tests it with fire. Some have wondered, what exactly is that? You know, the Bible says when Jesus comes back that his eyes are as a flame of fire. I think the Lord just looks at it. And when he looks at it, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's just consumed in his gaze. But see, gold and silver and precious stone, those aren't consumed in the fire. Those last. So the Lord looks at your life and he tests it by fire, and whatever is left, that is going to receive praise. If there's nothing left, if you lived your whole Christian life and you have nothing, no service, no good motive, nothing to show for it, it's just everything's burned down, it's just the foundation. Well, you're saved. You wouldn't be at the Bema if you weren't saved. You're saved, but you're saved yet so as through fire, and you have nothing to show for it. Can you imagine how terrible it would be to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I was a Christian ever since I was 10. I was a Christian for 50 plus years. and the Lord tests your Christian life, it's gone, everything. And you look into the face of him who died for you in agony and blood, the one who has nail scars in his hands. You said, Lord, I have nothing to show for all my years as a believer. The Bible does say that he will wipe away every tear in the book of the Revelation. I personally think there are going to be some tears at the judgment seat of Christ when people see their lives, when pastors and people on staff see their whole ministry just consumed because they did it all for self. They didn't do it for the Lord. It's gone. And they have nothing to show the Lord. There are going to be tears. Now, God, he loves us. And this isn't where you're condemned, but it's where you're evaluated. And you receive reward or you suffer loss. Every Christian, be evaluated by Jesus Christ. And truth number three, everyone can prepare to meet Jesus Christ. Amos said in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God. You know, you talk about this subject, about judgment, whether it's the great white throne or whether it's the judgment seat of Christ, and maybe you're in this room and you're like, man, I'm kind of scared to death. Good. Good. You look at verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. There's something about the judgment seat of Christ. There's something about meeting the Lord that should produce fear in us. Jesus said, do not fear him who is able to kill the body, but fear him who is able to kill both the soul and body in hell. That's the one you need to fear. So what do you do? What do you do? You hear this message. What do you do? If you are here and you say, honestly, you know, I don't think I've ever been born again. I've heard about that term, but I don't really know what it means. I mean, I go to church and I try hard. And I know about Jesus in here. You talk about knowing Jesus in my heart. I don't really know what that means. And so, Jeff, I don't really think I've been born again. A once born man dies twice. You can be born again. You know what it means to be born again? It just means that you surrender your life to Jesus. It just means that you see that you're a sinner and you're lost and you can't save yourself. And you just cry out with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. The Bible says that the apostle Paul preached repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, here are people and they're going down this road and this road leads to hell. And they're on this road and they're on this road. And then they hear about Jesus and there's conviction there. And they repent. That means they turn from the way they're going and they do a 180, repentance toward God, and they turn toward the Lord, repentance toward God, and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Both of those things are necessary in order to be born again. You turn from sin and self and you turn to the Savior and you give him your life. That's how you leave your destination at the great white throne, and now you're a citizen of heaven, and now you know for sure that you're going to the judgment seat because you belong to God. Everyone at the judgment seat goes to heaven. Everyone at the great white throne goes to hell. You don't want to go there. So if you today say, I've only been born once, today is the day for you to be born twice so that you would never die twice. How about for a Christian? Well, how do I prepare as a Christian? You can get serious about living for the Lord. Get serious about it. Maybe you're kind of like I was in high school, thinking this film strip doesn't matter, and you think that about life. Hey, I'm saved, and it doesn't really matter how I live. It matters because he's going to test you one day. He loves you. You're his son. You're his daughter because you put your faith and trust in him, but he's going to test your work as a Christian. And the Lord takes no delight in lazy, worthless servants. That's what he said to that servant in Matthew 25. You wicked, lazy slave. You buried your talent in the ground. You didn't do anything with what I gave you. So you get serious about living for him. You know, the one verse that really sums up everything about how to live a life where you hear at the end of it, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. It's in verse 9, where Paul says, therefore we also have as our ambition, our driving ambition, whether at home in the body here on earth or absent, he says in heaven, to be pleasing to him. See, if you really desire to please the Lord, that will cover everything and color everything you do in your life, because that is your burning desire to please him, not to please self, not to preach so people clap for you, not to witness so people write about you on Facebook, not to give so that you'll be on some plaque somewhere. It's to serve the Lord and please the Lord. That's what drives everything. When you have that kind of heart and that kind of attitude, then your service and your motive, those things are right. And then not only to please him, but to give him your best. Give him your best. Hey, you know, we all know when we do something and we give it our all. And we know when we go into some kind of endeavor or something and we go at it half-hearted. You stand before God, he's gonna have a question. Did you give me your best? I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I gave you my best. And my burning desire, my heart was to please you. Man went to a nursery to buy some shrubbery and some other things for his yard. And there was a sign at the checkout counter that said this: the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Listen, you can't change what happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. All you have is now. But the second best time is today to get serious about Jesus and start living for him. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Only what's done for Christ will last. What a way, what a poignant way to conclude today's lesson from Pastor Jeff called Why It Matters to Live on Purpose. Now, maybe you've been living a guilt-ridden life. Well, if so, it's time to get right with the Lord and truly live a life that's on purpose. If you feel lost and you want God's forgiveness, it is yours just for the asking through a repentant heart of faith. And when you come to him like that, he will save you, he will redeem you, and you'll be saved for now and for eternity, because he will never let you go. God is greater than the greatest thing that you can ever imagine. If you could imagine him, then you'd be putting limits on God. He's greater than your abilities, and he loves you so much, deeper than we can even imagine. The Bible says God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Ask God to come into your heart and to change you from the inside out and to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. I promise you on the authority of the Word of God that he will do that. God can do just about anything he wants to do, but he can't and he will not make you love him. Real love exists only when it's given freely. Let me invite you to visit our website and click on the Why Jesus icon on our homepage and let Pastor Jeff help you discover the depth of God's love, no matter what you may have done. You'll be eternally grateful. Again, go to fromhisheart.org and click the Why Jesus icon. Well, today's message was part two of the lesson, Why It Matters to Live on Purpose, part of the 6-message series from Pastor Jeff called Living on Purpose, our thank you gift for your support this month. Call 866-40-BIBLE to get your copy or go online to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to join us tomorrow when Pastor Jeff will begin a series on the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and we'll learn God's last word for a lost generation. Join us on Friday for the lesson called When You Question God's Love, as Pastor Jeff will open up God's word and share real truth, love, and hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.